enchanté.
Welcome back, Tidy Whities, to another Two Tight Ends podcast. I am your co-host, Connor, and with me is a man who found out about what's going on in the Suez Canal from a post that was like, I'm just too dummy thick to fit through this canal. It's Neil.
I don't even know where the Suez Canal is. Just kidding. I have to clarify. I'm sort of a geography nerd. I definitely know where the Suez Canal is.
It's kind of a geography nerd. Wait, okay, speaking of that, have you played that GeoGuessr game yet?
No, I haven't, but I feel like I dominate.
Maybe. Do you even know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. They place you in a random like Google Map thing, and you have to figure out where you are.
Yeah, it's like a street view, and then you have to like from the satellite view, you have to like pick where you're at on the world. But yeah, you should try it. I wanna see how you do it now. I've seen a bunch of streamers do it when they're like waiting.
Have you tried it?
I have not, but yeah, I've watched a bunch of streamers play it when they're like queuing up for games or something, like waiting in queues.
That is a classic streamer game. Maybe we should have a competition, Connor.
Ooh, now I'm interested. You had me horny, but now I'm interested.
But now I'm ready to come. Anyways, guys, let's get right into the news, man. We have so much to get into. This happened last night. The Dolphins are trading down, up, around, all over the place. So first, they traded the third pick to the 49ers for the 12th pick and some more picks. Lots of picks. I'm not even going to get into all the picks. Then the Dolphins traded up to the 6th pick, swapped it with the Eagles for the 12th, and some more picks transferred over there. So they're just shaking up the draft order. And I heard a rumor that the 49ers were trying to get in the top 5. They were feeling stuff out. And apparently the Jets did not want to trade for him at all. So that makes me think the Jets are set on a QB they like up there. Because why would you not? The Dolphins, the haul for the third pick was pretty good. So yeah. I'm a little surprised there. But Connor, what are your thoughts?
My thoughts are craziness. And also other thoughts. I saw something that was talking about the Eagles, potentially, the reason like they were making some moves is to find a replacement for Jalen Hurts, which I thought was weird since it seemed like they were pretty set on Hurts as like their guy. So, well, I'm a little confused by that.
The thing that sucks for Jalen Hurts is the guy that they brought in did not draft him, right? It's not his guy.
Oh, true.
So, true. I mean, I'm sure they are. Like, they gave him what, you know, what, a couple starts and that was it? Like I cannot believe that they would just get rid of him. I think that's just a rumor. You can't believe everything.
No, Neil, where there's smoke there's usually fire.
But then they traded out of the top 10, right?
True.
So I don't know. It's intriguing. I don't know what the Eagles' plans are. I hope it's to add depth to maybe offensive line, defense. They have a lot of holes, but I feel like QB is not the biggest worry right now. You still got to take a chance on Hurts, in my opinion.
No, I totally agree. And they lost. I mean, didn't they just lose? I say their best wide receiver, but that doesn't mean a lot. But didn't they just lose Nelson Aguilar? Isn't that right?
That was they lost him last year.
Was it last year? I thought it was. For some reason, I thought it was this year. But then they also just lost Deshaun Jackson. He signed with someone else too.
Yeah, he wasn't super big on that team, but I mean,
that's true. But I mean, they're losing a lot of their depth as it is, where they didn't have any to begin with. So
yeah, good point. Good point. But yeah, that's shaking up the draft order. I'm really curious. Like, do the 49ers have their guy and they're going after him now? And that was just the highest they could get.
Who do you think that guy would be? Because the only QB,
it's got to be. Go ahead.
Sorry. I was going to say, the only QBs I really know of, like, in top 5, I know, obviously, everyone knows Trevor Lawrence. I know Zach Wilson out of BYU for sure is, like, top 5, top 10.
He's top 5 QB for sure.
Yeah. And
so it's Wilson or Fields is what a lot of people are thinking.
Oh, okay.
But I've heard some stuff that don't, especially if they're already gone, which on third pick, I mean, two of them are definitely going to be gone. Mm-hmm. Maybe a Mac Jones. Maybe a Mac Jones. Maybe a, what was his name? Trey Lance. But I think they are set on either the Wilson or the Fields.
Gotcha.
And I think, or maybe both. Maybe they're fine with both.
Who's the dude out of Oklahoma State that did really well this year?
Oklahoma State?
I think it was Oklahoma State. Is that right?
Was it North Dakota State?
No. Hold on.
No?
I'm going to...
That's Trey Lance.
I'm going to look it up right now. Mm-hmm. State.
But, yeah, I think, like I said, I think they're set on a guy, and now they're just trying to go after him. And the Jets, when they probably put a feeler out to the Jets to see if they would trade. And once the Jets told them, no, we're not going to trade, then they're like, okay, they must be also getting whoever they think they want, and it's got to be a quarterback, because like I said, this haul is pretty good for the Dolphins.
Yeah.
So then like, okay, well, they're probably getting a quarterback, so we'll just get the third quarterback, and we have to be at number three because the Dolphins are willing.
Yeah. Also, I think it's Spencer Sanders is his name, but he's not one. I actually don't think he declared for the draft, but he did really well this last season. I was thinking he was in it.
Don't even know who that is. But, like I said, Dolphins just gained a lot of draft capital in the next few years, even this year. They have the number 6 and the 18th this year, I believe. I mean, yeah, they're all in on Tua, it seems like, because before there were some questions if they would try to move on for him, then they would pick a Fields or a Wilson.
Right.
We could potentially see the top 3 spots all QBs. Which is pretty interesting, but
yeah, I think there's a good chance. What is the draft order right now?
It's the top 3 is Jacksonville, Jets, now the 49ers. So I mean, I don't see Jacksonville's definitely getting one,
yeah,
for sure. They're getting Lawrence, and if they're not, they're stupid. Sure. And I think the Jets, like I said, because they didn't really want to, from what the rumors that we've heard is they didn't really want to trade at all, then they must be set on a guy.
Yeah.
And the 49ers are moving up because potentially they're, I mean, why would you give up that much if you're not getting a QB, right? Especially in this draft class. I don't know. So, yeah, that's pretty interesting. I love it. I feel like, and Connor, maybe you can attest to this, I feel like the NFL is getting more like the NBA in how crazy the trades and stuff are getting. Not that this never happened in the NFL before, but I feel like the frequency is definitely up in the last few years.
No, 100%. I totally agree. Because like we didn't really see, like quote unquote death lineups before. Like we did, like, you know, the NBA, you try to put a 3-star roster, 2-star roster, whatever. Like that was like, it was like a 2-star roster was like the recipe for a long time. Then it kind of made it its way where you had to have like 3 stars on your team to really compete. Mm-hmm. And now I feel like in the NFL, it's starting to turn somewhat into that where it's like you got to have like 2 or 3 top guys to really compete. We saw that with like, I mean, granted, it's a little bit of an outlier because you have Brady, but like we saw that with the Bucks where they just brought in all this talent and made a ton of moves. Won a Super Bowl
somehow.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Bucks, they just signed Fournette, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they just re-signed him to a 1-year deal. Pretty
they
sure.
are the first team in a long time to return to the next season with all their Super Bowl starters.
Wow.
Yeah, that's continuity. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to repeat in this league. It hasn't been done since the 2003 Patriots, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
But man, they're setting themselves up for a good year. I mean, hopefully they'll just get better than last year. I don't know. That's pretty crazy. Yo. And they still have Antonio Brown potentially. He's not signed anywhere, so maybe he'll still come to the Bucs again, and their depth will just get better. And
good.
And everything sucks because Brady's gonna win another one. I'm over it now. Like last year's kind of rooting for him. I'm over it.
Yeah, no, I feel you. But like it's interesting because we also see that it's not always a recipe for success because the Browns tried to do the same thing 2 years ago when they – or 2-3 years ago now. I don't remember how long
it's
been. Yeah,
but they're the Browns.
Exactly. But that's what I mean is like they brought in – you know, I mean they drafted their guy, right, and he didn't really have as much depth. But then they got people like Jarvis Landry, Odell Beckham. They had someone like Nick Chubb. They had – I mean they had all – and Myles Garrett. Like they had all these top talents that were just like wasted and still brought in a bunch of talent and made moves for talent. and still couldn't really make anything happen. I mean, obviously they did well this last season, but that was the first time in 20 years or whatever, 30 years.
30 years that they won a playoff, yeah.
Exactly.
Man, but like, I mean, to my point about the NFL, the craziness is happening more.
Yeah.
More trades, more stuff like that. And I love it. I'm a huge, I mean, we're going to get into it a little bit later in the show, but I'm a huge fan of like the NBA trade deadline. I think it's the funniest part of the year sometimes just because of all the craziness. And this year did not disappoint in the NBA. But yeah, I feel like the NBA or the NFL is very similar. It's getting more, a lot more similar to that. Yeah. But I want to talk about the Saints real quick because they have some bad news coming in lately. First, I think we started the week with they got fined for breaking COVID protocols this year. They got fined $700K, which honestly is nothing for a franchise. But they got fined $700K and forfeited a draft pick, I believe a six-round draft pick,
yeah,
because of them breaking protocols. And then it came out, I think yesterday or the day before that, that Marshon Lattimore, their star cute cornerback, he just got charged with a felony because he was pulled over with an unregistered gun that the police are pretty sure is stolen, which is not a good look. But I believe he posted bail and everything. Again, he's charged, hasn't been convicted yet. But that's interesting to see how is he going to be on the same, is he going to be playing games? Is he going to be doing a trial this year? Probably not. He'll probably play games, but that kind of sucks for their defense.
Yeah, should have followed Proto there, buddy.
Hey there. Yeah. Not following Proto.
You're done. You're done, bud.
You're done, fuckface.
How do you get a job here?
We do a whole podcast about their inside jokes.
It's true. But yeah,
the spinoff of your mom's house. Yeah.
Your mom's basement. We're just like, oh, we're just in the basement, just lurking.
Oh, that's so good, dude. I love that. Your mom's basement, a spinoff show. Okay, we're gonna start that. Nobody take that. Cut that out. Whoever's editing this week.
But speaking of crazy arrests, I was honestly shocked with this one. There was a Cubs prospect that was arrested this last week after the police found 21 pounds. Let's just think that. Let that sink in for a minute. 21 pounds of meth, and there was also cocaine. I don't remember how much, but it was so funny. If I remember right, the ratio of meth to cocaine was like 21-1 or something like that. It was like a pound of cocaine or something like, or like less than that. But it was like very little bit of cocaine, like, but 21 pounds of meth. But it was,
they're like, hey, we're meth dealers, okay? We do a little cocaine. We'll get you that, but we're meth dealers.
Cocaine is our side hustle.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're starting to dabble in cocaine.
Exactly.
But yeah, he decided to hide it in his team equipment bag, which, why? Like, you didn't think police check team equipment bags or like drug dogs don't sniff like team equipment bags or something? I didn't understand the reasoning behind that.
Connor, don't you think this is a testament to something we've talked about before on this podcast is, don't you think the minor league players should get paid more so they don't have to be dealing drugs on the side?
Exactly. This is an issue with the minor league system, not with this.
Yeah, yeah. I blame the MILB. This is all their fault. No, that's so crazy. And we're talking imperial units here, right? We're not talking metric. This is 21 pounds.
Yeah,
that's what? Why? I don't understand. That's so.
That's
much.
Just an absurd amount too. Like to try to smuggle in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, here's the thing, if you had a couple pounds, you could make an argument, probably not a good one, but you could make an argument it's for personal use, because when you're selling it, you get charged more, harsher, longer, right?
Yeah.
So if you had a couple pounds, you could probably make an argument that, oh, no, it's my personal stash of meth. But 21 pounds, there's no way that you're not trying to sell that.
Yeah, there's no way you don't have intention to sell and distribute. Yeah,
yeah,
pretty obvious. I think it's safe to say that this dude's not playing baseball for much longer.
You don't think so?
No, I'll probably get released. And, I don't know. Maybe he'll get picked up by, like, someone like the White Sox, or I don't know, someone that needs some more talent.
You don't think maybe there could be a longest yard type of situation for him while he's in jail?
I mean, potentially, but actually, the convict. You know what's funny is there is a terrible movie about that.
In baseball style?
Yeah, which it's not longest yard exactly, but I watched it on a plane, and it's funny because it has a bunch of big stars. Like, it has Joe, what's his last name? Like Magniello or whatever. Do you know what I'm talking about? He's the guy from like Magic Mike, sure. And he's in a bunch of movies. But
Is that Sofia Vergara's husband?
Yes, Sofia Vergara's husband. So
yeah, he's a hunk.
Well, it's funny because like he's the main character, and she plays his like ex-wife or ex-girlfriend or whatever that I think he has like a kid with or something. Anyway,
and they're trying to get that kid to play baseball or
no. So here's what happens. Basically what happens is he goes to jail for like 20 something years for like aggravated assault, and then gets out, and then the only thing he's ever, because he was like a top prospect, so like the only thing he's ever known is baseball. So then he's like, oh, I'm staying away from the game, but then gets roped back into it by like an old coach to come like help coach. Well, then someone sees him like hitting, so now he's like 40 something entering into like the minor leagues, and that's like the whole thing is like him going to go make it in the minor leagues at like such an old age or something like that. But surprisingly, terrible acting. Terrible story. Like, I did not like it. It really was not good. I was like, but this is some A-list stars. This is so weird.
It was A-list stars, but it's a Hallmark movie.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. Well, that is a weird one. Dude, I can't get over the 21 pounds. That's so crazy. Did you read more about the story? Was it in the U.S.? That he
arrested for this? I did not. I'm assuming he was in the U.S. though.
I assumed too.
I assume he was probably coming from somewhere into U.S. maybe to come to spring training or whatever.
Well, that's what I was thinking. That's what I would assume, but yeah. I don't know.
I'm assuming he was coming into the U.S. from somewhere to go to like spring training or something, and that's how he got caught, but who knows?
Yeah, who knows? Well, let's talk about some NBA news and some people who definitely don't need to be selling cocaine. no, I wanted to bring up this Markieff Morris quote the other night. So he said this after they played the Hawks, I believe. It was a 12 o'clock game on a Sunday, I'm pretty sure. I know it was a 12 o'clock game. It might have been on a different day, but he said this quote, they set us up with a trap game, whatever you want to call it. I don't care how the NBA feel about it. It was a trap game playing 20-year-olds at 12 o'clock in the afternoon. They trapped us. We just couldn't really find it. Me personally, I find all my shots were short. I end up making some late in the game, but throughout the game, just really can't get over the hump. When I saw this, Connor, I got pretty, I don't know. Mad, like, I guess mad's the wrong word, that's a little strong, but what are you talking about, Markieff? Cheesed off. What are you talking about, Markieff? I don't
understand what he's talking about either. Is he talking about the fact that it wasn't like an evening game, that they were off because typically they play later, so they didn't get like as much rest as they usually do? Or
I guess this thing is that this is inopportune time for these old heads to play, and so because they set him up against a 20-year-old at noon, I don't understand
how that correlates though. Like,
that's what I'm saying though. It's like, what are you talking about? So okay, Markieff, if this was an older team, if you were playing the Lakers or the Clippers on the same at the same situation, is it fine? Is it not a trap game? Just because they're older?
Also, I'm sorry, but I can't see the phrase trap game and not think of like trap music, like, you know, the trap game.
Future.
Future. 2 Chainz. Yeah, Chainz. Like, I just think of like a trap house. I don't know. That's just the only thing that comes to my mind when I see trap game. But yeah, I don't understand what he's talking about either. Maybe he used a little bit of that 21 pounds of meth before the game. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. Like, I don't know why. I don't know what he's thinking here.
He that's what I'm saying.
He feels slighted because it was in the afternoon against younger like players. I don't understand. I mean, I think
I thought you might have brought this up, or I can't remember exactly who did. That it's like, hey, isn't it? These 20-year-olds are probably staying up late too, playing Fortnite online, Twitch streaming.
Yeah, like,
true. Like, is that? I mean, you guys, the old heads are probably partying. The younger guys are playing video games all night. And the 12 o'clock ain't opportune for anybody. I don't know. I don't think. Listen, I think there are trap games in. But usually not on purpose. It's just like, you know, usually the classic trap game is, oh, you're on a win streak and you're playing somebody who's on a losing streak. And then for whatever reason, you know, they have nothing to lose. So, I don't know, it's a trap game and you're coming home or whatever.
Right.
But this just does not seem boo. Thumbs down to Markeef. Get over it.
Are you saying that do you think Markeef was like hungover? Is that what you're saying? Because you were like, oh, the old heads were out partying.
That's the only like,
do you think that's like, why he was like, this is ridiculous. We're playing like, at 12 o'clock. He's just pissed because he has a hangover and has to play through it.
He woke up at 11 with the hangover. Yeah. He's like, I hate this, guys. The sun's bright. Did you know that? The sun's really bright. Yeah. But like I mentioned before.
Now I'm picturing Markeef Morris playing an entire game with sunglasses on. So the lights aren't bothering him as much.
I was like you said, I was kind of getting it going at the end, but that's when the ibuprofen started hitting.
He was still drunk the next day. That was the problem. Yeah.
He's been chugging Pedialyte on the side. yeah. Well, Connor, let's get into some NBA trades because, like I mentioned before in the NFL section, this was wild and I love it. Favorite time of the year. I think one of the biggest trades to start off of the day was Nikola Vucevic from the Magic. He got traded over to the Bulls.
Yeah.
So him and Al-Farouq Aminu got traded to the Magic, or got traded to the Bulls for Wendell Carter Jr., Otto Porter Jr., and 2 first-round picks. One, I was surprised that the Bulls were in the conversation. I like the pickup for the Bulls. I mean, does this put them over any kind of hump? Not really, I don't think. Not yet, at least. They have some more problems, in my opinion. But I like a pickup if you're trying to get add depth, add veteran presence, all that good stuff.
Well, what are the problems you say they have?
Well, they don't really have, like, established. They need more veteran depth or more, like, they don't really have great wing defenders.
Okay.
Great 3-and-D guys. Like, they just don't have a lot of young prospects. I mean, Kobe White, Zach LaVine, and Lauri Markkanen are really nice. But I don't know. With just adding Vucevic in there, I don't see that pushing the needle too much. I love Vucevic. I do like the pickup still.
Yeah.
But I just think this is a big, like, 2 picks and those 2 guys. I mean, Wendell Carter, they've tried him. He hasn't turned out too well. He's kind of been injured a little bit. So I think this is interesting because the Magic, they're kind of in a rebuild. All these prospects that they're getting, we'll get into a few more of them. I think this is good for their prospects they're getting because some of them are going to have more opportunity to play, hopefully expand more. But for the Bulls, I don't know. I like it, but it's a little weird. I thought a more established team was going to go after Vucevic more, but maybe they weren't willing to give up 2 first-round picks for it. More established meaning, you know, a Celtics or a contending team, you know?
Yeah. No, so I gotcha. Yeah. I think that's a good point. I just think it's because the Bulls were willing to give up 2 first-round picks.
I think that's a big deal.
And
I think the other teams might have been willing to give up 1 and a couple of guys, but 2 is a lot.
Yeah, two is a lot for this trade. I mean, not that Vucevic isn't worth it in a way. Like, I mean, I feel like
that's
Vucevic,
what I'm saying. I feel like Vucevic
was one of the more underrated players in general. Like he's kind of an overlooked guy, and part of that was because he was on the Magic. But like, you know, Magic, I mean, they made it to the playoffs in the bubble, right? And like when I was following the bubble and when the playoffs hit and I was really watching a lot more closely, dude, Vucevic is a baller, which like you were saying for the Bulls, it sounds like they already have quite a bit of scoring. Like they're doing okay on scoring and things like that, but they need a lot more help defensively, wing guys, things like that.
Vucevic, everything else. Exactly, everything else they need
exactly.
Help with.
Vucevic will help with defense, but I feel like Vucevic is also known more for like his versatility. Like he is a good defender, good rebounder, things like that, but he's also a great scorer for a big man.
He's fine in the low post defending, but I mean, which is the crux of a lot of big men, pick and roll situations, like he can't move his feet.
Yeah,
so that's gonna be a problem. But I still like the pickup for the Bulls. And the Magic, like I said, they're trying to rebuild, which let's talk about another Magic trade. They're trading Aaron Gordon, who requested a trade about a little less than a week ago. Mm-hmm. Aaron Gordon to the Nuggets, and the Magic are getting back Gary Harris, RJ Hampton, and future first-round picks. That's what we know right now, future first-round picks, plural, which is interesting. Magic, I like it. I like it for both sides. Nuggets, it just adds more depth. Plus, they're getting, like, Gary Harris the last year and a half has been a little injured, hasn't been playing up to what they want from him. And then RJ Hampton, I like him. This is his first year, but he hasn't got a lot of playing time because the Nuggets are so deep. So now he's hopefully going to get playing time on the Magic. I kind of like it for both teams.
Yeah. No, I do too. Yeah, I really like this for the Nuggets, to be honest, just because I just, like you said, it just adds more depth to them. And now they've got another, I don't know. I don't know if I would consider Aaron Gordon a star. He's known for his dunk contest, but he's still a decent, he's still a solid player, I should say. You know what I'm saying? He's still definitely a solid player, and it adds more depth to him, but I feel like it gives Jokic a little bit of help with another big guy, because I feel like the Nuggets play a lot of small ball, and then they've got Jokic out there. But
Aaron Gordon's. Go ahead.
I was just saying, you had that stat a while ago. That was like not Vucevic. I just have him on the mind. Sorry, like always. but like when Jokic is on the floor, the Nuggets are like top tier, right? But when Jokic isn't on the floor, they're like second to last or whatever in like a bunch of categories.
Yeah. I like that. And Aaron Gordon's the perfect sort of small ball power forward, but he can also play a little bit of three ball. Like, he's good enough. And I like the pick. Another pickup I like a lot too is Victor Oladipo is actually going to the Heat. So the Rockets are sending Oladipo over to the Heat, and the Rockets are getting back Kelly Olynyk, Avery Bradley, and a 2022 draft pick swap. I love the pickup for the Heat. Somehow the Heat add more depth without giving up any other young prospects Duncan Robinson or what's the other guy's name?
Jeez, Tyler, I'm blanking Tyler right Hero. Now.
Thank you. And the Harden trade just looks worse now, don't you think? Victor Oladipo was involved in that Harden trade, and now it turned into Kelly Olynyk and Avery Bradley, two guys I like, two nice role players. Well, actually, I hate Kelly Olynyk. Fuck Kelly Olynyk. But but if we're being objective,
what did Kelly Olynyk ever
do to you? Oh, you want to get into this for a second?
Yeah.
So you remember the Wizards in 20? I want to say 16.
No, I don't know anything about them. I don't follow the Wizards.
They were playing the Celtics when Kelly Olynyk was on the team.
Right.
It went to round seven. That was like the Isaiah Thomas. The last year Isaiah Thomas was there. Uh-huh. The Celtics and Wizards had a rivalry. Everybody hated each other. It was great. And then game seven, Kelly Olynyk went off at like 30 points, and
he was pretty much that. And it was like, who? Kelly Olynyk?
Yeah, fuck Kelly Olynyk. Honestly, I should probably say fuck John Wall and the rest of the team for not showing up. But no, fuck Kelly Olynyk. It's all his fault. I hate him. but no, objectively, he's a nice role player, and I like him and Avery Bradley. But man, like, that just, it looks worse for the Harden trade now. But
while we're kind of on this vein, can we talk about my favorite Wizards like downfall memory with you real quick?
Sure. Yeah.
I remember we were watching a game together, and that was the game that LeBron hit that step back three that he banked in to send it to overtime.
It wasn't the Wizards were beating the Cavs. This was the LeBron, Kyrie, and Kevin Love Cavs.
Uh-huh.
They were beating them. The Cavs went on like a little bit of run at the end of the fourth to get it within three. And I think Bradley Beal had just hit a really nice clutch shot. They were inbounding it from the opposite side. Kevin Love threw a beautiful touchdown pass to LeBron was on the sideline. Yep. Like 6 feet behind the three-point line on the sideline over there. He catches it, does a turn, and banks it off the window to send it into overtime.
And then
we were watching that
together, and I was cracking up because you were raging. And
well, it was the best it part was about such that, such a roller coaster. I was so high, and then when LeBron hit that,
it's true. But the best part about that is now whenever like House of Highlights, Bleacher Report, any of those post like a compilation of like clutch moments or whatever, that's always on there.
Oh, the Wizards are just right there.
I have to laugh every time.
And honestly, there's nothing. I mean, I think it was like Otto Porter Jr. or somebody. Maybe it was Paul Pierce. I can't remember how long ago it was. They were in his face. I mean,
he there was someone with a hand right there. Like he, it was just a great shot, but
it was just an incredible pass. Nothing you could do about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you do? Yeah. Thanks for bringing up that painful memory. Yeah. Love it.
Yeah. No problem. I just love to see you cry. But really quick, so back onto Victor Oladipo. I also really like this move by the Heat. I know there was a lot of rumors that Oladipo was potentially going to the Warriors, that they were kind of interested in him. But I love this for the Heat. I love this for Oladipo more, because like would I love to see him on the Warriors? Sure. Like he would be electric. He'd be really fun to watch with Steph. I think it'd be a good fit. For now, though, is the problem where like the Heat, I feel like he fits in better in like a long term role where the Warriors, it's like, what do you do as soon as Klay comes back healthy? If he comes back healthy, I should say. But, like, hopefully when he comes back healthy, that, like, does Oladipo come off the bench now? Like, he's obviously, he's a small guy, and they've got Steph and Klay. And I just don't know if that's really the role for Oladipo, because I feel like that's what he faced in OKC a little bit. And then went to Indiana and found, like, a better role for him. I don't know.
Well, and here's the thing. He's a rental right now. So they really didn't give up too much for him, I don't think.
Yeah, that's true.
Because he's gone at the end of the year, potentially gone at the end of the year, because they need to re-sign him. I think the Heat – I do like the Heat fit. I mean, I think he just fits that culture too, that culture that they have down in the Heat, you know, that the scrappy Jimmy Butler's cultivated down there. I think he fits that in really well. Yeah, so I like that a lot.
I agree. I don't know why, but I'm giggling at you calling him a rental. I don't know why that's so funny to hear you refer to him as a person, a human being, as a rental. It's like, don't get a scratch on him. Better fill him with gas before you return him.
Do you need your rental insurance for this guy? Are you over 25? Can't rent this one. Another good trade that I like, Magic again. The Magic are sending Evan Fournier to the Magic. Magic are getting back Jeff Teague. It says he will be waived. And
Did you just say the Celtics are sending Evan Fournier to the Magic? It's the other way around.
I said it the other way around. I think I said it right. Well, check the tape. But the Celtics are receiving Evan Fournier.
Okay.
The Magic are receiving Jeff Teague and two future second round picks. So the Magic are just blowing it up, getting some assets, which is nice. Evan Fournier to the Celtics. I mean, I didn't think they needed another guard/wing, but they got another one. And what's a good problem to have is too many good players, right? he's another one. Like, again, he's not on Vucevic's level as like how good he was, how underrated he was, but I think he was underrated. A lot of people didn't see him play on the Magic. He's a good scorer. He's a good all-around player. I like him a lot. I like this ad for the Celtics.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I also have to call out this. Do you see his absolute troll tweet after the trade went through?
When he was like Boston, I think he said like Boston fans Google my name or something like that.
Yeah, and everyone was like, don't do it. So, of course, I did it. And it's basically a really, really terrible like bacterial infection specifically to the penis.
So, Liddy, dude.
Yeah, so it wasn't anything like super bad. It was just like I looked it up. And actually what's funny is when you Google it, most of everything is Evan Fournier, but the top like featured snippet, like little definition or whatever, is talking about the really, really bad infection. So yeah.
It also is funny because 2K released a photo of you see that? So yeah. 2K released a photo of Fournier in Celtics gear in the game. And something looked a little off on 2K. Usually they're pretty good with them, but and Evan Fournier tweeted it. I was like, "What the fuck is this?"
Yeah, he's like, "2K really hates me."
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, Bronny 2K one. Like replies to him and be like, "Yep, suck it, bitch." Like,
I just hope. Let's talk about Magic for a second. I just hope that they do this rebuild right, this another iteration, because they've been in a rebuild, like, or not, or like almost in a rebuild, or like on the borderline for years now. They haven't been in, like, they made the playoffs last 2 years, I believe.
Yeah.
but they've always like they're always on the edge of like, oh, if they go on a 5-game lose streak, then it's like, oh, they got to blow it up, you know?
Right.
So I hope they just like they get a good turnaround on this one. But they have some nice like I said, RJ Hampton's on there. They drafted Cole Anthony. Still like Jonathan Isaac, that he can get healthy. So there's some stuff to be, and future draft capital.
So, I'll be like perfectly that. Honest. I haven't really cared about the Magic since Tracy McGrady. So I had a T-Mac jersey back in the day, and ever since he left, I just haven't cared about the Magic. So
you know what I realized? Do you remember that guy in the draft? Not the draft, the dunk contest this year, Anfernee Simons.
Yeah.
Simmons. I just realized, and I can't believe I didn't make this connection before, but apparently he's named after Penny Hardaway because Penny's real name is Anfernee.
Oh, I didn't know that either.
Yeah, yeah. A little tidbit for you there.
A little tidbit. That's kind of cool. Oh, well, I mean, I'm pretty sure everyone knows at this point, too, that Isaiah Thomas is named after the Isaiah Thomas. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Love that.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. Another great trade I love is that the Mavericks and Pelicans traded. So the Pelicans traded J.J. Redick over to the Mavericks. Mavericks are getting Redick and Nicolo.
Doesn't this make Redick back on the Mavericks? Was he on the Mavericks at one point kind of recently?
I don't think so. No. He was on the 76ers.
I'm thinking of J.J. Barea. Never mind. Different
topic. Same white guy.
Yeah, pretty much.
No, I love this pickup.
I think J.J. Barea, isn't he still on the Mavericks? I'm looking it up now. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, I think he retired this year.
Did he?
I think so.
I'm looking it
up
now.
But yeah, so J.J. Redick's on there, and Nicolo Melli, which if nobody's watched the Pelicans enough for Melli, he's a really nice three-point shooter, big man. But J.J. Redick, finally back on a playoff team. I think this is really good for the Mavericks spreading the floor more. I love it. And they didn't give up too much for him either. So, yeah.
Wow.
Another deal, Clippers are sending Lou Williams. Hey,
did you want an update on this whole J.J. Barea situation or no?
Yeah, I do. Let me see.
He's retired.
What you got?
You're right.
Yeah, this year, right?
Yeah. Also, yeah. Interesting, though, had a 13-year career and was on the Mavericks for five of those, then Minnesota for three, and then back to the Mavs for the rest. So
okay, don't look, Connor. Can you tell me what country he's from?
Puerto Rico, right?
Is that I don't think so, but why don't you check real quick? I thought it was, now I'm blanking. Argentina? No, I don't remember.
Jose Juan Barea Mora is a Puerto Rican professional basketball player.
Oh, you're right. I didn't think you were right. Not going to lie. My
dick.
I will not.
Not tonight, anyway.
Not tonight. Yeah, another deal that I'm intrigued by is the Clippers and the Hawks are switching Rajon Rondo and Lou Williams.
Oh, yeah. I did want to talk about this one.
That was an interesting one for a couple of reasons. One, Lou Williams has not been really performing this year as well as he has been in the past.
Mm-hmm.
I know because he's on my fantasy team. And I've been like holding on hope that he's going to turn it around, which I do think he is going to turn around with the Hawks. The Hawks play tons of offense, no defense. He's perfect for coming off the bench for them.
True.
The Clippers, like I said, he wasn't performing as well, but they get Rajon Rondo. They lose shooting, but they get this defensive defensive-minded point guard who's running the offense really well, coming off the bench for you. I like that. But man, they that shrinks the floor a little bit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Which is not great for them.
But definitely does. And interesting too was after this trade went through, Lou Williams came out and was brutally honest. Was like, honestly, I thought about retiring after this went through, and had no desire to go to Atlanta. Has he spent his whole career in LA?
No. He's been a few places.
Okay, that's what I thought.
He started in Philly. Yeah.
That's what I thought, but the way he made this sound was like he had spent his whole career in LA and then they traded him away. So he was like, honestly, I just thought about retiring, but then after some epiphany or whatever, he realized like I still got more in the tank. Thank you, LA. Thanks for everything. Mm-hmm. Atlanta,
I think it was just
coming. whatever. Yeah, but it was just kind of funny that it was like, I don't know, because I could see if it was someone like, I don't know, Kobe Bryant, you know, spent like his whole career on the same team, won multiple championships, mm-hmm. and then they traded him away. Then I'd be like, okay, yeah, that makes sense that you're like, I'm just going to retire.
Right. Right. Well, he's a little bit older, and I think it's just like the Hawks aren't really where, you know, aren't contending right now. So he's like, well, I could, you know, I'll just retire instead. I'll go play in the Drew League instead.
The Drew League. But hey, good news for Lou Williams. I've heard that mm-hmm. Atlanta strip clubs are banging. So
there you go.
Maybe that's what convinced him to keep playing, because I see this as an absolute win.
Do you think that somebody reminded him about the strip clubs down there?
Probably.
And he's like, well, yeah, sign me the fuck up.
Probably had Trae Young call and be like, bro, you've got to come check these out.
bro, come get it.
Just kidding. Trae Young doesn't have strip clubs. Let's be real.
Yeah, exactly.
He plays Fortnite. He plays Fortnite. He's like, you guys need a fourth?
Okay. I ain't play Fortnite. another trade I love is Norman Powell is going to Portland. Portland sending Gary Trent Jr. and Rodney Hood over to the Raptors. I kind of thought the Raptors would be more involved. There's a lot of rumors around Lowry. He ultimately didn't get traded. Mm-hmm. But I like the pickup for the Blazers because you kind of get Rodney Hood and Gary Trent. You get what they produce in one person in Powell. Yeah, so that's true. Gary Trent's a little bit better defender than Powell, but besides that, like, I think like Norman Powell, like, it's almost a wash. So you get more production out of one player than you did with two. And then the Raptors, like I said, I thought they were gonna maybe even blow it up a little bit, but they ultimately didn't fully blow it up. So some nice pieces to add there. That was pretty good. Let's see one more. Oh yes, the 76ers got George Hill in a 3-team trade. Austin Rivers got sent to the Thunder. Not too many notable people on there. I do like the George Hill pickup though. Like I said, the 76ers were in the running for Kyle Lowry. Ultimately didn't get him, so George Hill is a consolation prize. Isn't that bad. Let's go through a few more of these.
Speaking of the Thunder, just like super quick, I know we kind of talked about this offline, but it's interesting because what did I send you? The Thunder have like, it's like 34 picks in the next like few years. They have a ton of picks in the next few years. And I'm wondering if we're going to see like a 2010 to 2012 situation for the Thunder where they had average the youngest team in the league. The average age on that team was like 21 at that point or something like that. Like it was insane. And we saw the team that they put together at that time. So I'm wondering if we'll see something similar with all these picks that they have coming up.
Well, here's the thing. Sam Presti is known for two things. He's known for getting draft capital, getting picks. Mm-hmm. And he's known for drafting really well too. I mean,
it's true.
I think maybe the numbers are a little skewed when you draft Harden, KD and Russell Westbrook, which is pretty damn good.
Yeah, a little
scary. Like those numbers are a little inflated, I think. But, I mean, because, you know, Durant was a surefire. Like, although maybe not because Greg Oden went before him. So, I don't know. That's a whole nother discussion. But,
but that's also the Blazers who don't typically draft well.
Well, that's what I'm saying. What if the Blazers drafted Durant? Then it's like Presti wouldn't have a surefire. If he went with Greg Oden, then... Anyways,
I guess that's true.
I digress. But I think that's an interesting thought. Yeah, can they sort of recreate they struck gold with the draft picks? And not only this, dude, they have so much capital. They could, you know, say they get the, because they're a decent team still. They have some decent prospects in there. Say they have a fifth pick. You know, they have the capital to, if there's a surefire top three guy, they have capital to go move into the top three or to go trade for a person who wants out of their city, you know, or there's just so many options you can do with that now to build your team, and you can pretty much do it how you want.
Yeah. The Thunder pretty much run the next couple drafts is essentially what I'm getting at. Like,
yeah, pretty much.
They run the show. Cause they're like, okay, if you guys don't want these picks, we'll just use them. But if they, exactly. I mean, if people want to trade for them, then they've got them.
And they still have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, mm-hmm. really nice guard.
Yep.
Love his potential. Lu Dort, I love him. He's like a nice. He's become. He was before. He's kind of just thought maybe he'd be a 3-and-D guy. He's kind of expanding his game a little bit mm-hmm. this year. I like to see that. They just called up this guy from the G League. He's this white dude from Europe that I can't even pronounce his name. he's a really good all around player. Yeah, they have some nice guys on there. But I want to get into two more trades before we move on, Connor.
Okay.
I know. I just love talking trades. That's all I want to talk about. But one was JaVale McGee is heading back to the Nuggets. I love it, man. I love JaVale McGee. He's one of my favorite players. And he was great on the Nuggets.
He's just a meme at this point. he's a great player, too, but I feel like he's just a walking meme. He's so funny.
He's so good. But yeah, he's going back to the Nuggets. They add some more depth to the Nuggets had a great draft. I think they're one of the top winners.
Agreed.
They had a great draft day.
Yeah.
Agreed. Or draft day. Trade day. and then another one is the Bulls, Celtics, and Wizards all got in a 3-team trade. The Bulls are getting Daniel Tice and Troy Brown Jr. Celtics are getting Mo Wagner. Wizards are getting Gafford and Hutchinson. I left out a few more players on there. But I want to rant a little bit, please. My weekly Wizards rant here.
The floor is yours. Go ahead.
Thank you. Wizards, what are you doing? I don't even know where to start here. First of all, I want to start by saying I've given up hope on this year, the slim hope that I had that they could recover into the play-in seed, which technically they still could. That is still in the realm of possibility, well, but I'm done. Hoping for it. It's the East. You never know. I mean, they just have to get. But I'm done hoping on that. Great, good. We're out of that way. No more expectation. Bradley Beal, 40-point in losses every day, baby. I love it. But now, so they have some nice young prospects on the Wizards, and I've ranted about this before. Like, I feel like they're being wasted. Which one of those players was Troy Brown? So maybe it's a good thing to get him out. I just hate to see him go. You know,
mm-hmm.
like I thought if he could develop more under some other head coach, not Scott Brooks, like he's a nice player.
Scott Brooks hate train. Okay, cool.
I mean, they stopped winning. So, yeah, got to get back on that train.
I love that train. It's my favorite train.
I just hate seeing him go. This worries me that, you know, they couldn't make it work with him and he's going to go and have a great career on the Bulls or something. I don't know. I just hate it. And I hope the Wizards, I hope they don't make the playoffs. And then they trade. At this point, trade Bradley Beal. Just get it over with. What are we doing here?
Please, just give him a good home. I just want him to go to a good home. I feel like at this point, Bradley Beal is like a battered dog. And you're just like, please, I just want him to have a good home.
We have to meet with the family first, make sure they're good. I want him to have a good home, make sure they walk him every day.
I want to see you guys play with him before I say yes.
Yeah. Dude, Varsity Connor is hearing this, be like, just send him to the Heat already.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I mean, after mm-hmm. after the craziness of the Dolphins and all that the Heat got on trade day, we just have an insufferable Miami fan again.
Yeah, again. Well, I'm going to end my rant there. I don't want to go on too long. I could rant for days.
Oh, you sure? Okay. All right. Well, let's move on. So,
yeah.
I did want to make sure that we mentioned LaMelo, the
real Melo.
The golden boy LaMelo Ball is out for the rest mm-hmm. of the season with a fractured wrist. But
sucks.
Does he still win Rookie of the Year? Thoughts?
Excuse me. First of all, how many games has he played so far?
It's a great question.
Let me look this up real quick. Don't you love our preparation for this show? He has played 41. That's more than half.
It's true.
I think no, because have you heard of a guy, Tyrese Haliburton? You probably have not.
I have.
No way.
I actually have. I'm pretty sure.
I think
partly because you mentioned him before and also because I've actually started paying attention.
Yeah, fair. I think he's been nipping at LaMelo's heels for the whole season.
Yeah.
I didn't think he was. I don't think he was going to – it was LaMelo's to lose, right? And at this point, since he's not playing the rest of the season, I think, yeah. Halliburton has been there the whole season right under LaMelo. Mm-hmm. And now that he's not playing, I think, yeah, like it's Halliburton's to go and take now.
So you want to hear something really interesting, which I'm shocked by this too, because I also thought Tyrese Halliburton was the, like, runner-up, right? I thought for sure when I saw LaMelo was out that it was going to be all Halliburton. According to sportsbettingdime.com, Anthony Edwards is actually sitting ahead of LaMelo now at a -167 odds for winning Rookie of the Year.
Really?
But I want to know why Anthony Edwards. Like, what has he really done? He's definitely made an impact. He's playing
a little bit better this
year. Yeah, like, he's lately. Definitely made an impact, but, like, I wouldn't say he should win Rookie of the Year, necessarily.
But I wonder what his stats are, his actual stats. Hold on, I'm pulling it up. Give me 1 second. Same. Let's see.
I'll pull up you pull up him. I'll pull up Tyrese Halliburton and see what's going on.
So here's the thing. Anthony Edwards has the stats to back it up. He's averaging 16 points a game on a terrible Wolves team. Coming off the bench still, I think. So he's averaging 16 points a game. Now, that's probably what a lot of these Rookie of the Year awards are usually like. Oh, whoever scored the most, right?
Yeah.
So maybe that's it, because I also brought up Halliburton's stats. He's only averaging 13.
Yep.
But in my opinion, if you've watched the games, he definitely has a bigger impact on the team. Dude, if De'Aaron Fox was not on the Kings, Halliburton would be starting. Like, that's like that is bottom line. Halliburton would definitely be starting. Like,
yeah,
he affects
true.
That team a lot more.
Yeah.
Than Edward does. And Edward's having a good season, but I don't think LaMelo is gonna lose. I think if he played 60-70% of the games, he would have a better chance. But playing just barely over 50%, I don't think he has a chance.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
Not that he doesn't have a chance.
I just don't think I don't think he's gonna win it anymore. But I think he was definitely the best contender at this point.
Oh yeah, for sure.
But yeah, I think it's over now. But that is interesting. I did not expect. I think it's partly because of the standings. I did not expect Anthony Edwards to be in the conversation. Well, maybe to be in the conversation, but not to be at the top.
Yo, you know what's weird?
What?
On basketball reference page. Oh, this is somebody else I wasn't thinking of. Never mind. Not even going to bring it up.
okay.
Love it. Well, let's talk about what Draymond said. Did you hear that?
Yeah, I definitely heard that.
Did you hear that? Did you see this?
I think that was the quote heard around the world.
Draymond came out and said he thinks he's the best defender in the NBA of all time.
Yeah, to ever play the game. Not just currently, to ever play the game.
And you and I both brought up this list of lineups.com's opinion on who was the best defenders of all time.
Top 50.
Top 50, and it's pretty interesting because I would pick so many of these guys over Draymond.
Oh, I definitely would. And actually, some of these guys, though, some of these guys I wouldn't put ahead of Draymond, though.
No, fair. So, and that's what I was going to say. Draymond is still a great defender.
Yes.
Very versatile. Probably one of the best in the NBA right now. I think he's top 3 to 5. Top 3.
For sure.
Top 3 defender right now. But if you're talking all time, out of here.
No. Yeah, well, so on this list, they actually have Draymond listed at 19. But I wanted to go through some of the guys ahead of him and ones we agree with and ones we don't agree with.
Yeah.
So they have Hakeem Olajuwon, number one, definitely. I agree. Hakeem Olajuwon.
I have no problem with that.
Definitely a great defender. Bill Russell, great defender. Dennis Rodman, basically all he did. So, yes, agreed.
Yeah. I think Bill Russell is an interesting argument just because of the time he played in.
Okay,
like,
fair.
It's kind of that Wilt Chamberlain argument.
Yeah.
It was he so good? And don't get me wrong, he was amazing. He was great. Amazing. But was it just because, like, his stats are a little inflated because of the time he played in, all that good stuff?
Anyways. Okay, yeah, that's fair. I actually didn't even think of this guy, though, but David Robinson, the Admiral. Bro, such a good defender. Like, I totally forgot about him when I was even thinking of people. But here's a couple that I'm a little surprised about. And I think part of this is because they're not known for their defense. So I don't know if I would consider them a better defender overall. But they have Michael Jordan here at number 9, 10 spots ahead of ahead of Draymond.
I think that's an interesting conversation for Michael Jordan because, I mean, he's won Defensive Player of the Year. He was great defender.
He was a good defender. It's true.
I think Draymond's more versatile. The crazy thing about Draymond is his versatility. Did I say that right?
Yeah. Versatility.
Versatility. Thank you. He can play. He can defend a center and do it great most of the time.
Yeah.
There are a few centers. Like, you're not going to, like, put him to stop Joel Embiid, but you're still not going to, like, fret if you have to guard most of the centers in the NBA with Draymond, right?
Right.
Like, and then at the same time, he can guard most other positions, I would feel comfortable on most people in the NBA.
Yeah,
to
I mean,
go against Draymond, you know,
he put someone like Steven Adams on the floor defending him. Like, he's that good,
right? Yeah, he's good. So, but that's the difference. Michael Jordan.
He didn't even catch that, guys.
Oh, the ball kick.
Yeah,
I just realized that. Yeah, I just passed over it.
Just completely glossed over it.
Yeah, the thing about Michael Jordan is he was a great defender, but he really only defended guards.
Yeah, well, and the thing about Michael is, like, yeah, he was a great defender, and like you said, he's a great defender of guards, but he is not known for that. He's mostly known for his scoring. He's won, mm-hmm. you know, he's won so many scoring titles, and then known for his championships. I mean, that's the big thing, but it's because, like, mm-hmm. he was the guy when it's like you needed a win in terms of, like, go out and score, you know, 30 to 50 points or whatever, like, yeah. Go get it.
Well, here's an interesting thing I feel like a lot of people don't realize. Not only did Michael Jordan win a Defensive Player of the Year, he was on all defensive team selections 9 times.
That's a lot.
Yeah. So he was there.
To give you an idea, Hakeem Olajuwon, who is rated number 1, also made all defensive team 9 times. So.
Yeah. So I think there's an interesting argument to be had there. I think there is an argument there between him and Draymond.
For sure.
I just think it's hard to differentiate what you value more, like the versatility or just a straight up GOAT mode guarding one position, you know.
Yeah, no, it's very true, cuz also, again, Draymond, I feel like he's just trying to put himself into the light of, like, I'm a defender and that's what I'm known for. Like, that's what I'm going to be known for, is being a great defender. Where Michael Jordan is just being known as the greatest all around. So, in terms of, if we're just talking about pure defenders, I think there's an argument there. Mm-hmm. Like you're saying. So.
Agreed. Well, I'm going to shout out number 11 here, and I skipped Kawhi. Kawhi's right after Michael Jordan at number 10. I think there's no doubt he's probably the best defender in the NBA right now. Mm-hmm. But number 11 is Ben Wallace. I want to give him just a little shout out. Ben Wallace, I think he deserves to be put up just a little bit more just because of, like, I don't know, his story, like his attributes. Like, he was undersized center they list him at 6'9". I wouldn't be surprised if he was even shorter than 6'9".
Mm-hmm. Well, they always inflate the numbers.
Oh, yeah. me too, buddy. Me too.
Use my thumb for reference.
Oh, dear. But, yeah, he was so good. He spearheaded those, like, Detroit Piston defenses, the ones holding people, like, 60, 70 points a game.
Yeah.
Like, he was the anchor in those defensives. And he was leading the leagues in blocks. He was 6-time all defensive team, all doing this, like, so undersized. And he could, I don't know. He was great. He was so fun to watch, too. I loved it. Just wanted to shout him out a little bit.
Yeah. And I mean, there's a bunch of people we're skipping on this list, too. Cause I mean, they have people like Mutombo, number 6, Kevin Garnett, number 7, Gary Payton, number 8, before Michael Jordan, you know, mm-hmm. like, it's, or like all ahead of him and stuff. So
I was going to say, I might put Gary Payton higher. Then they have him number 8.
Yeah.
I think this list gives a lot of love, and deservedly so, to a lot of big men. But I think it can be sometimes harder to guard the guards. And Gary Payton did it phenomenally. He was one of the best, like, point guard defenders ever. And that's just one of the hardest positions, especially nowadays. But, yeah, anyways.
I definitely agree. And then there's people like I mean, Kareem, Wilt, we talked about, like, kind of the time they play. I guess Kareem was a little bit more mm-hmm. new age, but and then Tim Duncan, agreed, he should be ahead of Draymond. Tim Duncan was incredible.
Here's my biggest one, I think. It's right before Draymond at 18 is Dwight Howard, Connor. I want to know, and that's kind of more recent, like, we both grew up watching
you know,
Dwight Howard, right? So we both kind of realize, would you put Draymond ahead of Howard, or do you like him behind Howard.
I would put him ahead of Howard. I would.
You would.
I would. Yeah.
It's interesting because I think that's the same sort of argument, just in different positions with Michael Jordan and Draymond.
Yeah.
It's because Dwight Howard, you put him up against a center or even help defense or something, he was a force, right?
Yeah.
But Draymond still has that versatility. I think that's an interesting.
Well, I think what's interesting here is there. It seems like they're really just taking into account, because I guess looking at this list, if you click on each individual player, they have career steals per game, career blocks per game, defense, all defensive team selections, defensive player of the year awards, and NBA championships. So it's kind of interesting that that's what they're taking into account.
Because defense wins championships.
Exactly. But like, it's interesting that they're not taking like rebounds into effect, like any of that stuff. Because I would consider like Rodman was a great defender, but he was an incredible rebounder. That's like what he's known for, and that was a big part of his defensive game. But it's interesting here because Draymond's slightly ahead in steals per game, a little behind in blocks per game, but then they have the same all defensive team selections. It's just that Dwight Howard won defensive player of the year more times. But Draymond's won 3 more championships than Dwight. Actually, that's only 2 think, now, right? Yeah, only 2 now.
I also think Dwight Howard's like defensive career was like such a rocket ship. Like it spiked so high, and his peak was so high, probably maybe even higher than Draymond's, and then it just kind of fell. Yeah. That's kind of his career in general, but especially his defensive career. And then Draymond's has been a lot steadier. like it's been really good for a long time, still really good, right? Like,
yeah.
So I think that's kind of interesting too.
No,
I mean, thinking back to the Dwight Howard's days, you know, the couple years that he won the Defensive Player of the Year, I mean, man, he was just I love just watching his block highlights. You know, just coming off the weak side, pinning it to the backboard, like. Yeah. Yeah, he was a fun one to watch, but yeah, I don't know exactly where I would put Draymond. I think I would put him a couple spots higher, but not too much, honestly.
No, I don't think I'd put him too much higher than where he is now. I kind of agree. Mm-hmm. I agree for the most part with this list, but I mean, I guess all in all, we talked about, okay, Draymond made the statement, agree or disagree. We obviously disagree. Of all time, no, you're not the best defender of all time. Are you in the conversation as one of the best of all time? For sure. But, I mean, what I think is really interesting is one of the first people after the statement was made to, like, come out on Twitter and call bull was Tony Allen. He kind of, like, spoke for himself and was like, excuse me. But they have him 3 spots down from Draymond on this list.
Tony Allen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Tony Allen was great. I mean,
Tony Allen was great.
He was awesome. I have a question about another guy on this list, John Stockton, number 26. Obviously, when you think John Stockton, you're not thinking defense.
Yeah, you're only thinking assists.
Right. But let's put it this way. He has the most steals ever in the NBA, right?
True.
And the next person who's behind him, 700 steals behind him.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's Jason Kidd. I want to put a little respect on my boy John Stockton's name. I would put him possibly a little higher than that. I don't know. Just for the fact of having just the based all-time on the steal leader.
Well, and it said he made 6 NBA all-defensive teams. So they're weighing that, the problem is because they're doing steals and blocks. And so, obviously, Stockton did not block a lot of people.
No.
So, I think that's the problem is I think and it's based on the way they're weighing some of these.
Championships, too. And Stockton famously does not have championships.
Ouch. Okay, too soon. Still too soon. Yeah. But that is interesting that we're talking about that because Jason Kidd is number 42. Like, he's way down on the list compared to Stockton, where he's got second most steals of all time.
Yeah.
Someone else too I think I want to talk about is Rudy Gobert at 35. I feel like he should be a little higher, even though I know he's still young, still has a lot of time left, but do you feel like he should be a little higher on this list?
I think so, especially just from what he's already done. I mean, the Jazz have had the best or some of the best defenses in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I would probably put him a little higher than that. Okay. Yeah,
just wanted to make sure I wasn't crazy.
Just for now, and then obviously, like you said, he has more time to play, so maybe he would climb even higher.
Yeah.
We'll see. But like he's isn't he the No, no, he's not the biggest, but he's one of the biggest forces on the defense side right now. Yeah, yes. For sure.
Yep. And I think we should also point out too that this was written almost a year ago. This list was put together. So that's one thing. Like, I got confused with Dwight Howard because said that he had zero championships still. Like, wait, he just won one.
Yeah. Hold on. Now, this is another interesting one. Giannis is number 38 already, and he just won his first defensive player of the year last year.
Yeah.
I mean, he might be climbing too on this list.
It's true.
By the time where it's all said and done. We'll see.
Definitely true.
We'll see on that one. It's a fun one. It's a hard one to sort of debate about defense, because defense is almost, it's a little bit more subjective, a little bit more intangibles that you have to figure out.
Agreed.
Not so stat, not because of scoring, there's so many stats about scoring.
Yeah.
Right. But defense is a little more eye test.
And that's why I'm surprised rebounds isn't weighed into this at all. I think, and I mean, maybe part of that, the reason they didn't weigh rebounds is because of the guards in here, because they're not going to get nearly as many rebounds as the big guys, you know? So then this sure. would be weighed so heavy towards big guys up top, guards down bottom on this list. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I mean, blocks is pretty similar in that same vein. So I don't know. But I agree with you there. This is way more subjective. Is not as kind of clear cut as scoring can be with all the statistics that are out there. But anyway, interesting discussion though. I think there's a lot of conversation to be had about who the best defender is of all time, or who the best defender is just right now.
Let's say it right now. Do you want to go right now?
If we're going
so
right
Kawhi's
now,
number one, yeah. Would you agree? No,
who's number one? I said yes, but now that we're talking about it, I mean, Rudy's really good, dude.
Well, I was gonna say I might put Rudy number two.
Okay, I'll go with that actually, because the problem I think, or the issue, if we're talking about these stats that, you know, weigh into it or whatever, is Kawhi's steals is on point. Mm-hmm. Like no one can match Kawhi's stealing ability. So
my problem with Kawhi lately too is that he's not as much as a LeBron, but he's picking and choosing more these days when he wants to defend.
Yeah,
when like he used to on the Spurs, he was always defending, and parts of that, you know, he's definitely has a huge load on the offensive side for sure. And it, again, it's not as bad as like LeBron,
yeah,
especially because, you know, the age difference and everything. But I think lately I've been noticing that he's picking and choosing. He's not always on like he was, and there are factors into that.
Yeah,
but I still think when he is on, which is still most of the time, it's crazy. But okay, yeah, I think so. Fair. There, I would put Draymond at number three right now. But it's a tight top three.
I think I would also agree, and I would agree that it's very close. But yeah, I think top three right now would be Kawhi number one, Rudy number two, Draymond number three.
Yeah,
I think that's fair.
I'm good with that. There we go.
And actually, I think Giannis, I think I agree with you that he's on the rise, though. I think he could be in the conversation for top five.
I think he's probably number four. And yeah, I mean, there's an argument there. Yeah, for sure. All right, let's move on to some entertainment news. And Connor, you're going to bless me with explaining to me. I don't even know what this is.
Okay, so a lot of you have probably seen the memes or maybe the actual news about it. But Cinnamon Toast Crunch, which probably one of my favorite cereals of all time, is in a lot of hot water right now. And the reason for that is it comes from, actually, you know, Topanga from Boy Meets World show back.
Of course.
Okay, great. Just want to make sure the woman that made you find out your sexuality, just wanted to make sure that you remember her.
There you go.
So her husband tweeted out a picture of like I said, there's a whole lot of this story that was uncovered. And one thing that was uncovered is they are insane Cinnamon Toast Crunch fans. Like, they buy the giant boxes from Costco. When the quarantine was happening, they were tweeting about how they officially had to like ration out their Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Otherwise, they were going to go crazy.
Are they sponsored by them?
No, not at all. They just love Cinnamon Toast Crunch. So what happened, though, is he found a couple of discarded shrimp tails in his Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Yeah, legit, like, shrimp tails in his Cinnamon Toast Crunch. And took pictures of it, tweeted at Cinnamon Toast Crunch, was like, can you please explain, like, whatever. They tweeted back, was like, can you, you know, take a couple pictures, let's send it to our customer, whatever, service team, blah, 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 right? And, I mean, his whole thing was, he was like, I just want Cinnamon Toast Crunch. He just wanted them to make it right or to explain what happened here. And They came back and gaslit him, and or gaslighted, however you say it. They came back and were like, oh, that just happens sometimes that the sugar will clump up, and those are just clumps of cinnamon sugar. And he was like, nah, dog, these are shrimp tails. You can see that, like, it's pretty obvious in the picture that it's shrimp
tails. You can fry them up, dip them in butter, and they were shrimp tails.
Yeah, basically. You can make a scampi out of these at this point.
Yeah.
But yeah, like you can tell that they were shrimp tails covered in cinnamon sugar. And so he's tweeting at them, and now they're going, okay, well, we want you to send them to us so we can analyze them. And he's going, no, not after you just tried to gaslight me and make me feel stupid. I'm going to get these inspected on my own. And I tried to communicate with you and you didn't communicate back. And anyway, it was a whole thing. Well, okay, he starts investigating the box further, finds out that the second bag in this like family, you know, because it comes in like the giant box comes with like two bags of Cinnamon Toast Crunch or whatever,
right?
Or two bags of cereal. And the second bag is all weirdly taped up. Like it has like scotch tape on it or something. So it looks like it's kind of been tampered with. But then he finds these other pieces of cereal in there that have these like black spots on them, like all this stuff. And he was like, what? Like he's tweeting this whole thing, like live tweeting everything basically. And he's mm-hmm. like, what is, well, people are responding and letting him know this is most likely rats that got into like a bag of flour. Or something. Like they made a home in like the bag of like these ingredients or something, and then they just like didn't notice, no one noticed, and so they dumped it in here. So that like the shrimp tails, he also found like a piece of string in the bag that was like taped up. He weirdly found like a piece of like dental floss. So he's thinking that these rats had made like a nest, and these were their discardings that they had like made and built their little nest out of. And that's what the black spots were, though, was rat droppings that had gotten cooked and baked into the cereal. Gross. And he's tweeting at Cinnamon Toast Crunch this whole time, and Cinnamon Toast Crunch is like weirdly silent / trying to gaslight him / trying to make it right at the same time. But like the whole time he's like, yo, Cinnamon Toast Crunch, you still have a chance to make this right, and you're not doing it.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
So is that where we're at in the story right now?
That is where we're at. I don't think there's been a resolve yet. Not that I've seen, at least. Mm-hmm. I'll do some more digging like this next week. Maybe we can have a follow-up on our next episode. But yeah, the best part though is the memes, of course. Because I saw one yesterday where someone photoshopped a box of Cinnamon Toast Crunch and put, it was like, it said Cinnamon Toast Crunch, oops, all shrimp tails. I was freaking dying.
It's like when Captain Crunch comes out with a new variation.
Yeah.
Berry Crunch.
Yeah, I was friggin' dying. But yeah, it's pretty wild.
Hey, at Cinnamon Toast Crunch, treat my Topanga family better, okay?
Oh,
why don't you do that?
Man, how did I not even get into this? The best part to come out of this whole, like, because I followed this, it was an Instagram story that kind of like highlighted all this. Actually, my boss sent it to me. Shout out to Rashmi for this one. But she had this, like, she had found this like Instagram story highlight that had this all like chronicled.
So real quick, Connor, that is so 2021. It's like you find out this huge news from either Instagram stories or TikTok. Totally is.
I mean, how I had found out about it was memes, and then.
Right, that's still so 2020.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. It gets even worse because I found out about it from memes, and then my boss Rashmi was like, "Yo," she like sent it into her like our group chat and was like, "Have you guys seen this?" That's when I was like, "Oh yeah, I've seen some pictures, but I don't know much about it." So then she sent me over Instagram. She sent me this whole Instagram story highlight or whatever that like chronicled everything where someone put all these like Twitter screenshots together. Anyway, it was great, but. The best part about all of this was they had some pictures of Topanga because they were like, guys, they're like huge Cinnamon Toast Crunch fans. Here's some, like, look at the dates on these tweets. And it's showing them, like, you know, taking pictures with, like, boxes of Cinnamon Toast Crunch and stuff. Yo, the best part about all this is I found out Topanga has still got it 100%. 100%.
Oh, 100%.
She definitely still got it.
I didn't know that. Wow. That's interesting because so we had... Zach over this last weekend. Mm-hmm. Shout out Zach. And we were talking about, me, him, and Caitlin were talking about like childhood, like people who we had like crushes on.
Yeah.
Topanga was one of them. We brought them up. We were talking about a lot of cartoons. Like, I don't know if this was
Lola Bunny. Is she on there?
Well, I think definitely she was on there. She's her older self, let's be honest. But one of them that I'm intrigued to hear what you think about is Kim Possible.
Oh.
How do you feel about Kim?
100%.
100%.
Now, if we're talking cartoons, I got to ask you this one. Was any of the Teen Titans on there for you? Raven, Starfire?
Yes, the original. Yeah, for sure.
No, not the Teen Titans Go crap. No.
No. That just feels weird now, too.
It does feel like weird. It feels so weird. Like,
you can't say anything about that because you're not a kid anymore, right? You were a kid when you were watching the other one. Yeah.
But yeah, when you're 9 years old and you're like, she's like showing her belly. I have weird feelings happening now.
what about in Kim Possible, Shego, the villain?
Oh, yeah.
Dude.
Yeah. My favorite is all the memes now too. That's like, my taste in women directly correlates to my taste in cartoons. And it was like Shego. It was like a couple of goth girls from Danny Phantom. Like it was like all the
dude. Danny.
It was like all these like cartoon chicks that are like goth chicks basically.
That's so funny. Sandy Cheeks. Yeah, all the cartoons.
Yikes.
I love it. All right.
you're like on a walk with Kate and you're like, yo, that squirrel's kind of thick. She's like, what?
What? Yo, is it wintertime or are they just storing? They're storing that for later.
Is that, is that squirrel storing nuts or cake? I can't tell the difference.
Yeah, that's a fun one. Good times.
Good times. How about y'all?
Yeah. One more thing we want to get into before we end. The new Suicide Squad trailer dropped.
Yes. And
Connor had an interesting take. Why don't you take this one?
It was surprisingly good. Or at least it looked surprisingly good. Because I think we all know that the last Suicide Squad was a flop.
Yes.
Because here's the thing, which I think this is very interesting. Sorry. Let me just like, I don't know. Get like. Let me just like brain dump for just a second.
No, go off, sis. Go off.
Thank you. Let me give you the tea. Is that
girl boss? Is that how you say girl it? Boss.
Okay, so so it's interesting because the thing that everyone had a problem with DC before was like it was kind of artsy, a little dark, a little weird, right? But the biggest thing is like there was no character development whatsoever. It was just kind of like, yeah, you know who this character is, like. We're just going to throw them in a movie. So then there was all that criticism of them. Then they make Suicide Squad, which weirdly they just went in the polar opposite direction where it was all character development and like very, very minimal storyline. Like there was a lot of times I remember in the first Suicide Squad movie, they would like come back to the main story and I was like, oh, that's right. That's what's going on. Like I would just like forget that. It's like, yeah, that's right. She's the bad guy. And this is what's happening because you're so caught up in like, they were so caught up in having these characters like develop and interact with each other. Right. Anyway, one thing I do have to want to note is that, I think it came out recently in an interview with Zack Snyder, who was talking about this whole difference between DC and Marvel, and his take on it was, Marvel is so good at these like action buddy comedies or whatever you want to call them that like, why would I try to replicate that? Like, I'm not going to succeed. I'm not going to be as good as Marvel. Like they're the best at it. So I'm going to make them in this other light that is different, and they're different for a reason. I was like, okay, I can respect that now. Like that makes a lot of sense because everyone's just so used to like the level of Marvel, but it wasn't just about like the comedy and that dichotomy, I guess, if you will, of like action and comedy and all this stuff. It was more, I felt like, a clear-cut story. It was entertaining. It kept you engaged, but it didn't, I don't know. I just felt like some of the other DC stuff that's come out, it doesn't bring you in at all, right?
Yeah, I was gonna say, is the Zack Snyder, is he talking about the other light? Is that just the light, the shadow of a shit? Like, what?
I mean, maybe.
Like, what other light are you trying to do? I don't.
I just think showing it in more like an artsy, like, whatever. But anyway.
Yeah.
The interesting thing about this movie, though, is James Gunn is directing, which, if you don't know, and maybe you do know, James Gunn is the director of the Guardians of the Galaxy movies. So, was he involved? Well, I mean, he was involved in a lot of stuff with Marvel, basically, is the point. Mm-hmm. So he is kind of known for being able to bring in these like star-studded casts and make it work really well. And also have a lot of characters involved, as we've seen, and make it work really well. Mm-hmm. So now you've got this new Suicide Squad, which has like John Cena, Idris Elba, his brother Sean Gunn, who is also in a bunch of his movies. And you have, I think I saw Taika Waititi plays a character in there. Sylvester Stallone plays a character in there. Like Margot Robbie's coming back as Harley Quinn, of course. I don't know if
Pete
Jared
Davidson
Leto
is in it.
What's that?
Pete Davidson is in it.
Yes, Pete Davidson is in it. I don't know if Jared Leto is making an appearance as Joker in it.
I'm not sure, but I think, didn't he make one in the Snyder Cut?
Yes, he did. Remember. Snyder Cut, Justice League. He is in that for sure. But
yeah.
Anyway, point is they have a star-studded cast, ton of characters, and from the trailer, it looks like it's actually going to be really good. And it does look like it's a little more towards that like Marvel feel, but still, I think, with the DC like little more edgy aspect. So that's what makes me excited for this movie.
Yeah, and I kind of agree to the sentiment of what you're saying, but my thing is I've become such a pessimist of DC lately.
Totally.
Just because they've swung and missed every time. I have no hope. Yeah. I have no hope. But I was talking to my coworker about this. Maybe because my expectations are so low, it'll be a decent movie, and then I'll be happy about it.
Okay, fair. No, I totally agree with you because that's the thing is like, yeah, DC is just all big. Big swings and misses.
Swing and misses,
like,
yeah.
I felt like the only one that even somewhat redeemed itself was the first Wonder Woman movie that came out. It was actually a pretty decent movie. Then they came out with Wonder Woman 84.
Yeah, I've heard. So I haven't seen that one yet. I've heard it's pretty bad.
It was so
That's
bad.
That's the thing. It's like these, guess what? Marvel in general lately has all these great characteristics across all these movies. A lot of them are really well written. A lot of them are funny. A lot of them are right. So it's like, yeah, you don't have to copy. I like that Zack Snyder said he's not trying to copy Marvel, because that probably is a recipe for disaster. So, but the thing is, it's like Snyder, yeah, okay, don't try to do Marvel, but could you try to write a good script?
Could you try to do better?
Yeah, could you try not to have the lighting horrible on every scene?
Yeah, or like, Batman versus Superman, where the resolve is that the mom have the same name or something?
Could you try not to make every supervillain way over the top and every, I don't know. Yeah, it's
Could you
it's
try
annoying.
To ever have like a shot in the daytime? Is that possible?
Yeah, or try to have any consistency over anything?
No, it's true. That's, and yeah, I like I said, I respected Zack Snyder for like kind of addressing that and be like, I'm not trying to do that because they're the best at it. Why would I try to do that when I'm never going to achieve that? So he like, you know, kind of just admits it, like, they're the best. I can't compete with that. So I have to do like my own thing. But yeah, again, Marvel's so good at like story development and character development and tying stories together and making it work really well. If DC could even do like a fraction of that, it would be great, but they can't. So it sucks.
And a shout out to him again. I was talking to Zach about this actually when he was here. He was saying that sort of on the same sentiment of what Zack Snyder said, where he's not trying to copy what Marvel's doing. He's like, yeah, people are expecting that too much. So they've already kind of introduced, they've kind of gone away with that whole trying to, they tried it with the first Justice League. Was trying to like intertwine all these movies and stuff. So I think now the direction there, it seems like they're going is the multiverse, where it's like not every movie is going to be connected directly, like all this stuff, to try to get away from that. But like you said, I mean, it's going to be hard. They're going to be compared to Marvel either way.
Yeah. I think that's a reality that Zack Snyder, not our Zack, sorry, didn't mean to make that confusing, but Zack Snyder needs to live in is that like he's always gonna be compared to it's like when we talk about anyone in basketball, who are they always compared to? They're always gonna be compared to Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant or LeBron James or whatever. Like, they're always gonna be compared to somebody, because that's what we do. We want to have, as just humans, we want to have some kind of reference in our head to like a standard. And so because Marvel's the standard now, what are you gonna do?
That's true. So, Connor, this Suicide Squad, what is a success for this movie in your eyes? Is it a better than what you expect? Is it just has to be decent? Does it have to be great? What is a success in your eyes for the Suicide Squad?
A success in my eyes for this one is just to be an entertaining, engaging movie all the way through. That's all I need. Mm-hmm. I'm not asking for much here.
Some of my biggest problems with Suicide Squad is that I think it's a decent movie when you just get down to brass tacks about it. It's okay. It's fine entertainment wise. Like, you're maybe not engaged, but like the action and stuff is pretty good. Margot Robbie and Will Smith's characters kind of save it for sure.
Yeah.
But my biggest problems is like, it's way too predictable. I hated the villain, like stuff like that. Yeah. Right. So I think hopefully with this James Gunn directing, yeah, hopefully I agree. If they can make it an engaging, decent movie, that's fine. And I would want to rewatch, you know, maybe once every couple years instead of once every 20 years, like Batman vs Superman.
I want to burn that and bury it.
I need to show Caitlin that. She hasn't seen that one yet. Okay, and I think, but the thing is, Caitlin hates Batman and a lot of superheroes in general, but especially Batman. And so I feel like this would be perfect for her.
To hate him more?
Yeah. I'm trying to work on that, but I'm just saying, I think that really slides into her thing. But yeah, no, I think I kind of agree. If they just make a decent movie, it would be more than what I expect.
That's it. I thought they were actually going in a decent direction with like Wonder Woman and the solo Aquaman movie was okay at best. Like, it wasn't great. It wasn't really good, but it was okay. Like, it's not one I want to watch over and over again, but I didn't hate it. Yeah. Right. Like, it was a halfway decent movie. And so if this just takes that and even like a step further, and if it can be like
full decent movie,
exactly. Like if it can be a full decent movie, but also if it can even like surpass how I felt about like the first Wonder Woman and Aquaman, mm-hmm. win for DC.
Mm-hmm. Here's another thing: Suicide Squad's soundtrack. The first time, amazing.
It was a good soundtrack.
It was a great soundtrack.
The Imagine Dragons song was a little overplayed, but still good.
A lot of their songs were for sure. But yeah, they were good soundtrack. And is this new soundtrack going to be? Is it going to be up to par? We'll see. Or if they. If they lose soundtrack quality but gain in actual movie quality, I'll be fine with that.
Also true.
I'll be totally fine with that.
That's a good point. From the trailer, it does feel like it has a little bit of a Guardians of the Galaxy vibe, though, where it's got some of those like oldies but goodies that are kind of thrown in there. So I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think maybe we should definitely do a whole review when that comes out.
Agreed.
Connor, what do you think? Yeah?
Yep.
But I think that's going to do it for this week, guys. Another great discussion. We're recording this on Saturday the 27th. March Madness is starting back up today. We didn't want to make predictions that would go bad by the time we release it on Monday. That would just soil. But yeah, this week is gonna be fun as far as cars basketball. I'm excited, man. Football's coming around. The draft's coming. NBA's just getting hot. This is a fun time.
Wait, did you mention MLB opening day?
MLB opening day. Wow. Shout out T-Mobile. They're giving away, if you guys don't know this, on next Tuesday the 30th, if you are a T-Mobile subscriber, you can get MLB TV for free through the T-Mobile Tuesdays app. Little plug for T-Mobile there.
Look, hey, you guys. I have T-Mobile. I'm gonna get in on that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You should. But yeah, like I said, that'll do it for this week, guys. Go follow us on socials at Two Tight Ends. That's the number 2 on all our socials: Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, even YouTube sometimes. And Connor, or actually me first, you can follow me at the Thrill Can Kill 5. That's the number 5 on Instagram. And Connor, where can they follow you at?
You can follow me at Moco, that's MOCO.CUDE on Instagram. And but yeah, just be sure to follow all of us at the Two Tight Ends accounts.
Yeah, yeah. And please give us a share if you're on Apple. Why don't you leave a review? That'd be great. And Connor, what did we learn today?
Well, Neil, if there's anything we've learned today, it's that just like playing 20-year-olds at 12 o'clock in the afternoon, if you are asked to carry 21 pounds of meth across the border, it's a trap game. Probably shouldn't do it.
Trap game go hard.
2 Chainz.
2 Chainz. All right, everybody. Till next week.
See ya. You give me something that I can't give you here. Tell me what you're thinking. I need to know your feeling. If you crush on me, you
you need to know my story, but don't get too close to me, cause I need my fantasy. Here I am, falling down, crashing down, and I feel like I don't need you. Here I am.